Okay, sorry.
This is collective bargaining. Mike Matamore.
Anita Schoenberger.
Tom Wazlebeck.
Brendan Kemp.
Oops, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Brendan.
Go ahead, Brendan.
No, that's all right. I think we've all heard that I am indeed here.
John Fink.
Enid Siskin.
Dean DeBoe. We have
three things that we wanted to bring up today. The first thing is, because I think it's kind of like where we left off, is there was a request for us to see if we could come to the next bargaining session and put a number on the increase that would be associated with the SB. And number that we would like to put on the table is 3%. So there would be a 3% increase.
And that's for both associate and full.
Yeah, that would be for the successful employee who is evaluated under SB. So that's what we're putting on the table is 3%. The other thing that we thought we would bring up, and then we'll answer any questions you have about that. The other thing that we thought we would bring to the table and give to you for your consideration, considering I think where we have progressed in the operation of the SB, that maybe we can go ahead and sign off on tenure and promotion. Because we were holding back, I think, because we thought that they might be impacted, but I don't think they're going to be impacted.
Okay.
I would think that SPE probably will be very much
Is that where it is?
Well, that's where it is. You know,
is that where it is?
You have a state contract,
is that where it is?
They put SPE in that.
Okay. I'm going to bring my book today.
Some of the other CBAs from the other schools to see if there's any ideas, good ideas that we might incorporate. One of the things that I've noticed in the Florida State CBA, in their disciplinary action article, they have a peer panel review. This is their well, this is the language, it's not a proposal, it's the language from their contract to review.
Thank you.
Basically, what they have is an additional step whenever disciplinary action is taken, a review from a panel of peers. It's a non-binding review. It's advisory the same way as in which our university personnel committees and others are advisory. And it provides an additional level of feedback for the administrators and others about the circumstances. You can imagine situations where you might have two, you know, contentious stories between a dean and a faculty member about certain actions. And what the peer panel does is they review the materials at hand to the dean. So we think that this might be a good starting point or something to consider incorporating in our disciplinary action that also administration might appreciate as well.
Okay. I was kind of just trying to find if there's language in here that would indicate how people get appointed to the panel.
When I was reviewing it, I don't remember if it says specifically. It just says that they can request. It doesn't limit faculty members' ability to grieve something. It doesn't interfere with grievance.
Right.
I don't think there's specific language about how the panel itself is put together. And this is in the context of their system, too. It's something that we would probably have to tweak this or arrange it in ours specifically, but I think it's a good consideration for all involved.
Yeah. guess that is defined now that I'm looking at it in this regulation. Shall serve as the peer review panel specified in the regulations. Okay.
Could I have a moment of your time?
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to say something before we leave for caucus, 1 minute, please.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. I just got one
tenure. Disciplinary.
And a disciplinary.
I'm working on implementation of Title IX policies and all the changes that we need to make in terms of Title IX. And one of the things that's impacted is disciplinary.
Can I see everybody's 17 back for just a second?
17?
No, you can't.
I don't know.
I have 2 actually. I don't know. Yeah.
The disciplinary process has to make room, according to Title IX changes, for, oh yeah, can we have that back? It's totally the wrong thing. Oops. Anyway, has to make room for.
We want to sign off now.
I'm taking off the memo that says.
The stuff. You gave it back, right? Yeah, okay. But anyway, different. That's something different. Is that it has to make room for the victim to participate, and right now our system doesn't have that, and okay. So premature putting this on the table.
Well, no, we're putting this for discussion purposes, and what Anita's saying is that we probably are going to have to, as we go through 17, add some language that would allow for that.
Yeah. Okay. We're
not signing today.
Okay, well, just to be clear that it wasn't our. We need to add something to that.
Yeah, and we'd be interested.
You need to keep 17 open, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah. 17 still needs some work. Yeah.
Okay.
But with the exception of what Anita is referring to, we think it should be status quo.
Yeah.
But now I understand you have a suggestion for us to consider adding another element to 17. So yeah, it's still in place.
I didn't want to imply that. We don't have anything we have to say about that article.
No, yeah, that's fine. And the our view on that peer, on that potential value of the peer panel is not only for faculty, but it's also something the administration could, the provost might potentially appreciate as well, especially in navigating complex situations with.
Just footnote to that is it might actually fit in very well with what you're talking about with the Title IX.
Yeah, that's what made me think, and I was like, oh my God, whoops, what did I, you know, ooh, I forgot all about that. So I'm glad you did it.
Yeah. Another quick thing, too, before we caucus, if that's okay.
Sure.
When we last we were talking about the handout about the multi-year contracts for instructors and lecturers, I've communicated a little bit with Anita on this, too, about trying to figure out some of, on the bargaining list, that we had previously, it just said some general terms of instructor equivalent, right? So these are all the individuals in their actual positions who are listed as instructor equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got research associates, a couple of full-time counselor advisors. We have one position that's an associate professor equivalent. My guess is this is probably on a different campus. Anita, do you know this person?
Yeah, I think he is on the... Andy does, I'm going to say the wrong word. Look. Food, hospitality.
Oh, okay.
And I think that does emanate from Emerald Coast.
Okay, that's fine. Because it looks like regional programs. Brendan might know.
Brendan?
Which you have to repeat because it cut out just a bit.
Oh,
you
sure.
Say it again, Jennifer?
We're trying to identify Andrew Holdnack. Do you happen to know who he is? Because he has
a name, but I don't.
He's an unusual title. All right, we can, we'll look it up.
And then I've also included the library faculty on here. Our position is that if we're to offer multi-year contracts and the manager you guys outlined for instructors and lecturers, we'd like to see as many of these instructor equivalents and library faculty included in that. So essentially, faculty would be either, they'd have access either to the sustained performance system, or that they would have access to the multi-year contract formula. Now, the one caveat to that is if we have some of these research associates who are hired on grant funding, that's terminating grant funding. You can't obviously offer someone a multi-year contract beyond that grant. But we would look at that, I think, on an individual basis to see if they're recurring positions or if they're grant-funded positions.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Brendan, for your benefit, we've been provided with a list of probably 20, 25 individuals in different titles that we need to address in terms of instructor lecture track over the SP.
That sounds good. Thank you.
And I've also included on here Mamie Hickson. She's in a special case because she is a tenured assistant professor, but she's not eligible promotion to associate professor. So we might need to have a conversation about how she would, so that technically would make her fall out of either the SPE, and multi-year contracts wouldn't affect her because she has tenure already. So she's going to want to see how she would fit into the SPE system, who has tenure but is not eligible for promotion. Previously, in the form you guys handed out last time, outlining those things, it said associate professors and above are only eligible. So she's an assistant, but do you mean how come she's not eligible for SPEs?
How come she
doesn't have a terminal degree, and that position was changed as a result, I think, of some legal action. And so she has a master's degree, but is a tenured assistant professor, not eligible for promotion to associate.
So it's not the position that's limited. Just the person that's currently filling it.
Yeah, she's the only one in that special situation.
Okay.
So she's evaluated as an instructor, but she's technically a tenured assistant professor who's not eligible to go for promotion.
Okay.
Well, we'll take a quick caucus, I guess.
Sure.
Brendan, I'm going to close the phone. I'm going to hang up, and we'll call you from my office. That's where we'll
That sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I just come knock on the door?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell your assistant.
Yeah. You know, the only one who's there is Marie. Marie's the lady in the back. Monte.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Sounds good.